doing this, and this is in the background, but we're not really, I guess, paying much attention to it, is that worship. Did I word that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Or what, am I close? Okay. So, is that considered worship? And I think at that time, right before class, I think Wally had a point he was going to make. But we ran out of time.
I wasn't here. What's the question?
I think you got set up, huh? No, in the last class,
just when we left off?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Where we left off in the last class, where as far as, you know, the music, I think there wasn't a question about it. Is the music authorized? I think the question was if we, in the background, is that worship?
Well, I mean, I'll be able to answer the question ourselves, I guess.
Right.
Is it worship? What is worship?
Okay.
If I got music playing in the background, I don't miss the worship any more than if I'm sitting in the audience, sitting in the auditorium when everybody else around me is singing.
Right.
And I'm just sitting there. Is that worship? No, I'm worshiping.
No, participating.
Mentally, I'm not participating. My mind's not. I may be singing, and I'm not, you know, as we talked about.
Right.
You could be singing, even, but not be worshiping because of where your mind and your heart is, just going through the motions. But certainly just sitting there. And, you know, I don't know where that, how that can be construed as worship.
Right.
So when everybody else is doing the same.
So, but we could. Will we agree that even, let's take that example, if someone is in the assembly, and let's say they are singing, now to you, it might say, it could say to you that they are worshiping as an observer, but to God, they might not be. Okay. And the only reason why I was saying that, because I want to make sure that we don't use an example like this and reason backwards. And what I mean by that is, okay, if we are, let me rephrase that. Okay, so in saying this, does that mean, would there be a problem, or what could the problem be if we are listening, if that music in the background that we're not really participating in is worship songs with instrumental music? I'm just, is that a problem?
Say that again.
Okay. If we're saying the point is in as far as, okay, I'll agree, if it was music. Let's start here first. Let me make a point. If there's music that we would agree, let's say we agree it's worship music, it has no instrumental music in it, therefore authorized, we're listening to it outside the service, it's just in the background, so if we're not singing it, now singing, of course, we've already looked at, that would be participating. Mm-hmm. Just in the background, so therefore we're not really worshiping. Okay? I would agree. But I don't think that that means it would be okay if you have worship music with instrumental music and it's just in the background. And there's a reason why I'm saying that.
And we're not singing to that.
Right. Well, even if you... Once you started singing, you're
totally,
participating.
Totally.
Okay.
I'm just trying to follow you.
Okay. And the problem that I would suggest in that is, let's look over at 1 Corinthians 10.
Anyway.
Hang on.
Sorry.
And like I stated, well, I said listening only because, of course, once, like we looked at it in our last class, once we are singing or whatever, that's participating in it. But when you look at, actually, let's go to 8 first, 1 Corinthians 8. Now, in 1 Corinthians 8, what do y'all remember what the was going on here? What some of the problem was in this chapter? Had to do with idols.
Idols and tempting others.
Okay, but the food that was sacrificed to idols. Now in verse 7. Actually, we could probably back up. Let's see here. I'm going to start in 1. I'll just read a couple of verses. Now, concerning these things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by Him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. And then it goes on to say, in verse 7, however, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol. And their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Okay, so we see something about this idea of this food that was sacrificed to idols can become a stumbling block. Okay, now if you look over in the 10th chapter, in verse 23, says, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this meat, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience' sake. I mean, not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that which I give thanks? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, so there's some terms that came up several times. One of them is for conscience sake. Also, in connection with that, you saw this idea of this foods that were sacrificed to idols. It said, well, having to do with them, it says, without asking. Okay? So, in connection with the food, you can eat this, but. So, if someone brings it to your attention that this was meat sacrificed to idols, what at that point were they to do? If you knew it was a sacrifice to idols?
Not partake.
Okay, not partake of it. And And why not? Is there something wrong with the meat, or?
But no, it was the act of symbolizing being given to the idol.
Okay, so what does it symbolize? So previous to this knowledge of being told that this was sacrificed to idols, there was no problem with eating this meat. It was okay to eat. So we see that it's not the meat that changed. Okay? What changed was what is being said when this person partakes of this meat, knowing what it was. Like we looked at, for conscience sake. So whose conscience? Who did it say?
The other person's conscience.
Okay, the other person's conscience. So, what does that tell us then? I mean, if something that we can do that there wasn't a problem with eating the meat itself, but at that point when we partook of that meat, it's telling this other person something. And it for their conscience sake. Like we looked at in chapter 8, that it could be a stumbling block to them. If you notice, verse 31 says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And when you back that up to verse 29, not your own conscience, but the other man's conscience. So you want to glorify God. Then couldn't you say, because of course we know we've got to love God and do what He wants us to do, but what couldn't you say then that this would have to do with loving your neighbor? Isn't that what it talks about? I mean, it specifies this person as being your neighbor up here. And then it's talking about you're not doing this because of the influence that you're having on this person. Okay, so that does have to do with your love towards them, or because you don't want to do them harm, because what you would be doing could be a stumbling block. And that's the exact idea we saw in 1 Corinthians 8:8. You know, we are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. The problem was the influence that you were, the stumbling block that you could be. So let's say, and this is just a thought I have on that, it's just something for us to consider. So let's take this in mind when we're, okay, we're not at the worship service, but keep in mind what worship is, having to do with God's worthiness. And that's the music you have in your car, and you're listening to it, and it has accompaniment of instrumental or mechanical music, or instruments. Can that be a problem with that? Even let's say, okay, it's not worship, it's just in the background, I'm not singing to it, it's just in the background. Where could that still be a problem? Who's your neighbor? Who's in the car with you? Is it maybe your kids? Maybe some person that you've been trying to convince why you don't have instrumental music in your worship service? Could this confuse people? This is just something that I think we need to consider. I mean, this is something we have to come up with, but I think we need to consider other people, because that was the very thing that Paul was doing here. We see in 1 Corinthians 8:13 how strongly that he felt about this, because it says that, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again. so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. And I understand in that context it's talking about his brother or one in Christ. But we need to keep that in mind in this, well, really anything that we do, because of the influence that we are on the other people around us. And especially those that would be young in the faith, because that person in the car could be that. And we just something to think about. Are there any comments or thoughts on that? It's a question. I mean, okay. No thoughts or comments, or did you have a thought, Rocky? Or I didn't know if that was a hand up or no. Okay.
The only comment I was going to make is, if you look at these eight witnesses, and you look at singing, it's pretty clear that God expects us to sing spiritual songs. That's either in the assembly or what we do as individuals. Because those eight witnesses, some are in assembly by context or one another phrases, some are not. So that's the acceptable form of worship that God has.
Okay.
Now, some of these other areas that get a little bit tricky.
Right.
And the thing that I always have in mind is when we worship, it's something we have to do mentally. It's something we're doing between us and God through singing. So by listening to a song on the radio that's maybe a spiritual song or a Christmas song that's got musical instruments, can you listen to that? Can you sing along with that? Well, again, I think it all depends upon are you using that to worship God? I mean, if I'm just singing that for enjoyment or like that song traditionally and I'm not involved in worshiping God, then I don't see a problem. So I think it all has to do with what are you doing? If you're trying to worship God, you need to sing with the spiritual songs. Now, while I say that, because I hear recently, all these songs that we sing, sometimes I will, in the car by myself, start hymning the song. Just hymning the song, the spiritual song. And I'm thinking of God and worship and praising. And I've corrected myself. I said, well, no, if I'm even trying to hum that song, I'm trying to worship God, He wants me to sing it. So instead of humming, I need to sing it. But if it's if I'm not in the process of worshiping God, I don't think it's wrong to listen to something. There's a song I listen to quite a bit, Amazing Grace, sung by Judy Collins, that, and so when I go through that, I'm just a point of listening to the song, and it's for enjoyment. Maybe have some good thoughts, but my mind's not directed toward heaven. So I think,
are you singing with it?
Sometimes I will sing with it.
Okay.
But again, I got to be careful if I'm trying to praise God with that. Then I know I have to it has to be singing as an individual. But to me, it's in a gray area. It depends upon where your heart's at, whether you're worshiping God or whether you're. How far do you take this? Does it mean that we can't listen to Christmas songs on the radio that musical instruments in it? I think you can. It depends upon what you use it for. Now, if I'm in an assembly, singing Christmas songs, musical instruments, and people are using that to worship God, then I see this conscience thing then really takes a playing part. I won't participate, something like that. So I think, this area you're getting into, it depends upon, I think, what you're doing and what your intentions are, and there's some gray and judgment areas.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't disagree that it is some judgment areas, but I would still think, as far as this whole idea here in that we look at 1 Corinthians on this, as far as these sacrifice with the meats, it was obvious these aren't people that would be worshiping the idols. And they knew that, okay, if you do that knowing that that's what this is for and that's what you're telling, then don't do it. So that's just what I think on that. But did you have a comment, Greg?
I had a question. What if you're a song leader and you're trying to learn a song and you go to the piano and play the song to learn the tune? you're not worshiping God, you're just trying to learn the song.
Right.
What would be the difference in that and singing along with it?
And the difference in what? Singing
along
with
the radio, a song like Rocky's saying, I don't see the application being any different. You're not worshiping God there, you're just trying to learn a song to teach, maybe lead in the assembly or something.
Right.
And using that to, at that point in time, you're not worshiping God, or you might be, but okay. You know, generally you wouldn't be.
Now, if I have people accompany me that think I'm worshiping with musical instruments, then it's my duty to either tell them that I don't believe that, or, you know, kind of, or not sing it. I mean,
okay.
I think your point's well made. You've got to be concerned
about those around
us. Okay. And so, wholeheartedly, it's pretty clear from these scriptures that you have.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? Or?
Do you think it makes a difference if a song is just talking about God or Jesus, or if it's literally praising God? Is that two different things, or is that all the same thing?
I think there is a difference. I mean, you can say the word God and
not plan on
meaning anything by it. Because I think there are songs that do say stuff like that, that don't mean any praise by using the word or some of the things they might talk about. Yes, sir.
And when it comes, just remember that, you know, we're praying to an infinite being who knows our hearts. So he knows how we feel about the subject. You know, we want to praise. And talking about all these little gray areas, like, you know, going to step on something's going to blow up. Well, you know, God knows our heart and knows that we want to do right and follow his pattern. And I think a lot of these areas, maybe we may not be so stringent on ourselves.
Okay.
Or just knowingly, as opposed to knowingly saying, well, I can sing and participate in this song because it's a great area. That, you know, that shows a wrong attitude and a wrong heart.
Any other thoughts or comments? No? Okay. Yeah, sure, because we're going to get off this if we're done.
Sit on my car.
Oh, boy.
No, on the way here.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant
have
some other way.
No.
Well, thank y'all. Really appreciate y'all's participation in that. So now we're going to go over to page 65. Does anybody now have that lesson? I think 65, right? Mm-hmm. Do you need one, Greg?
Yeah.
Be right back.
All right.
I left mine.
All right. Anybody else need one? Wally, did I ever give you one?
No, I don't need one.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to go into lesson number 6, the Lord's Supper. The word supper can be used in more than one way. So we need to understand what this supper is. The supper we take in connection with the Lord. Now we know by examples of other passages that words can be used to take on different meanings. And what I mean by that is figures of speech. Here are some examples of words being used to mean something rather than the conventional meaning. Now if we look at Romans... Romans 5:9 uses the word blood. And now put on the lesson, it's not talking about that red stuff that flows from our body or through our body. And we know by verses 8 and 10 that it has another idea in mind. Let's read 5:8-10. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So we see this idea that blood is put here for death. Now, in Galatians, in Galatians 6:12, verse 14 uses this word cross. We read, let me start 6:12. Those who desire to make a good showing, showing in the flesh, try to compel you by. That's not where I want. Well, yeah, compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the word has been crucified to me. The world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Having focusing issues here. So we see that what this idea of the cross is, that it's talking about the gospel or the message of the cross. We can also see another example in Luke when we look at this idea of the cup. And again, basically what we're just looking at here is just to see that some of these terms can be used in more than one way. So sometimes these words are going to be used as a figure of speech. In Luke 22:17, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves." So we see this word cup in the first part of 17:8. But then the latter part of that verse says to take the cup and to share it among yourselves. So we can see the idea that they can't really share the cup. What they're talking about is what's in the cup or the contents. And verse 18 explains what is meant by this. It says, "For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine." So it's talking about, when it says this word cup in this context, it's talking about the contents of it or the fruit of the vine.
There's another verse you can write down that's also interesting. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "Drink the cup." Make another verse to support you.
Okay. Thank you. That's a good verse. Yeah, that'd be kind of hard, huh?
Drink the cup.
That might not go down very easy, yeah. Drink the cup. We'll write that. Okay, so we see this idea of how words can have different meanings here. We can see from these examples above that we just looked at, we looked at the way that the word is used in order to understand the meaning being used in that context. So that's the way that we have to look at these things. And these are examples of metonymy, which is the figure of speech. And this figure of speech in which a thing is replaced by its attribute. And that was the definition I got from the Webster's Universal Dictionary. Its example is Wall Street for in place of the stock market. So what I wanted to do in this lesson, when we're starting out here, I want to look at some word usage. First, we're going to look at how some of these words such as supper. That's going to be point A. Point B, we're going to look at breaking bread. We're going to look at how these words are used. So let's take some time to look at this word supper. And again, we want to look at God's word and see how He uses this word. And we will look at the different meanings that this word can have, because we're going to see that this idea here for the word supper. Now, not the Lord's Supper at this point. Right now, we're just looking at the word supper in itself, that how it can have different meanings. And we're also going to look for later on a similar word in that, as far as the breaking bread. And we'll see how that is used also. So point A in supper, as we just mentioned, this word can have more than one meaning. This word can refer to a meal, but that is not the only way that is used. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. Okay, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 25. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first. And one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, this word supper, I put the question, how many times was this word supper used within these verses?
Three.
Okay, so three times this word supper was used. And what verses were that?
20, 21, and 25.
Or was it? Okay. So, when we look at this word supper in 20, 21, and 25, are all of these, does this word supper have the same meaning?
Nope.
Okay, no it doesn't. So it has three different suppers. When Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, he refers to the Lord's Supper. And he's speaking of this supper, but he explains how what they are doing is not observing the Lord's Supper. Okay? The New American Standard Version says it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. American Standard says it is not possible to eat. Is that what yours says? Okay. It is not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. So, the meaning is this. What they were doing was not what the Lord had in mind. Okay. That's not what He had in mind when He instituted the Lord's Supper. Now, verse 21 builds on this. This describes that what they were doing was taking it as a meal. Okay, verse 22, what? Do you not have houses in which to eat and to drink? Okay, but in verse 23 and following, Paul speaks of this account in the way it was recorded. In verse 25, it talks about these elements being taken after supper. So, one thing we'll learn about the Lord's Supper is that it was not a meal. Okay, because this was done after supper. Again, that was the idea that Paul was speaking about. Now, when this was being instituted, what supper was this after? What supper is being referred to here? Okay, let's look at Luke 22. Now the feast of, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. Then in verse 7, then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And then in verse 11 through 13, and you shall say to the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large furnished upper room prepared there. And they left and found everything just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And in verse 20, and in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So, what was the supper that it was being referred to?
Passover feast.
Okay. So, in, I think verse 25. Well, that's where it's referring to it in verse 25. But that would be referring to the Passover feast. So, and one thing, well, I didn't put on y'all's lesson, but in my notes I put that we need to keep in mind in Matthew and Mark, it says, while eating. And I just want to know that just in case that comes up. Because if you said that you had dessert with supper, does that mean that you ate them at the same time? Okay, it might be the same sitting, but it's not necessarily at the same time. So, well, it depends on what you mean by time as well. But this may be in the same sitting, but following the meal. And that might be why it's worded that way in Luke. I'm not sure, but just something to keep in mind. And also, keep in mind that before the bread and the cup, before it shows that they partook, or it also says that he gave thanks. So, didn't he already give thanks for the meal? So, if it is the same thing being spoken of, then why are they giving thanks again? I'm just trying to show that it is a different thing being spoken of here. Do we have any? We've only got a couple minutes left, so I'm gonna stop right here. Do we have any comments or thoughts or?
Yeah,